This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, good morning. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio Network. Was it me, or did it feel like the news just kept flying all over the place with college football yesterday? Hey, are you playing? Are you playing? No, we're playing. No, I'm playing. It felt like an Abbott and Costello routine. And it felt like I needed to take a step back. I remember at one point yesterday afternoon, I said, you know what? I'm not even going to watch this. I'm gonna wait until the night and then see where we all are in the college football world. And when the dust had settled with all the news that was flying all over the place in the Twitterverse, we found that the Mountain West Conference has decided not to play college football this season. Hopefully they'll play in the spring. They joined the MAC, who made that decision over the weekend. But the Big Ten, it was like early in the day that the Big Ten, people were saying the Big Ten was going to shut down. And then the coaches spoke out and said, no, we're not shut. No, we're playing football. But there is a movement that is going on, and there is a movement by the players. It starts with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and a number of other players who were on the Zoom call on Sunday night to start and starting this movement of we want to play, right? And this movement has got some legs because, again, when you talk about social media, you talk about how fast things can get, this is coming together. The virus is obviously a concern for presidents. This is a concern for athletic directors and coaches and everybody. And how they deal with this virus, what they think this virus could do, varies from everybody, right? There's no real consensus. You've got coaches who feel like players would be safe within the bubble of the university, within the bubble of daily testing and protocols and everything, rather than just being out on their own. And then there's university presidents who really do not want to be the person in charge if a couple of the players on the football team should die from COVID, right? So you've got a whole spectrum of opinions on what this is doing. But the voice that is screaming the loudest is coming from the players who have gotten quickly on the social media train saying, we want to play, we want to play. But there's more to this than just a virus. There is more to this shutdown talk than just concern for the health of the student athletes. And I'll tell you what that is coming up next as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Listening to the SportsMap Radio Network, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio Network. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. So, where exactly are we with college football for the fall? I have absolutely no idea. Big Ten is supposed to make an announcement today. There was a report yesterday that the presidents of the Big Ten had voted 12-2 to not play this upcoming season. Scott Frost in Nebraska was like, hey, just letting everybody know, we'll play football. We'll find a way to play football. I have no idea how he would do that. Like, who would he get to play? Who, like, are there going to be like a bevy of other teams that are willing to just jump ship and play Nebraska? Who would he play? Division three schools? I mean, I don't know. I mean, but it was bold. I like that. Jim Harbaugh says, you know, hey, look, here's some facts. I think we need to play. Ryan Day was adamant. Once the coaches started speaking out, then, of course, you've got the players and their voice. This was squabbling among squabbles. I mean, this was a conference that wasn't really unified in how it was delivering its message on what it wants to do. So, look. Is everybody concerned about the virus and its impact on student athletes and personnel? And I mean, even trainers, coaches, et cetera. Of course, everything everybody is in every walk of life. I think we're all concerned about it in some way, shape, or form. But there's something that's a little bit that's a storyline to this that is being overlooked, and that is this. When the athletes led by Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields and a couple of other players, Chuba Hubbard, for example, at Oklahoma State, started talking about, we want a voice in this. Like, we want to play. Hashtag, we want to play. What they were saying was, we would like, to have a seat at the table a little bit in discussing the 2020 season. You know, university presidents, you're going to discuss it on your level, and coaches are going to have a little bit of an input, and medical people are going to have their input, but we are players, and we are young players that feel like this virus is worth the risk, that it's the gamble we want to take, that we want to play football under the right safety protocol, but we want to play. We have a lot on the line here. Some of us will be taking the next step to the next level. We want to play. Some of us will not, and this is the last time we'll be able to play. So we want to make sure that decisions that are being made about us have our voice attached to it. So this is a couple of things that they want, right? Which, again, you got the devil's in the details here, right? They want, again, a voice, and they want safety protocols that are in place, right? But they also want a guarantee of a year of eligibility, so that if you elect not to play, you would not lose a year of eligibility. They want protocols in all conferences. They want safety, of course, for themselves and the people around them that deal with them on a daily basis, like trainers, etc. But then here's the kicker. They also want to create a college football players association for communication with school and NCAA officials. Oh, wait, that is not going to happen. Now, I wonder how much of this decision that these conferences are making has a little bit to do with the fact that there is a rising tide of voice that's coming from the players that they want a seat at the table. It's not a union, right? It's not going down that road. They're not employees, so you don't get the unionization of these guys. But at least an association that they can control that gives them a seat at the table, that they can have further conversations on how the business of college football is going to be run in the future. That is a big deal. That is a big aspect to this story. This is not just a virus situation that's going on in the state of college football. This is not just making sure there's some protocol in places, or we feel like some of you are going to be at high risk, so we're not going to play. There is a serious movement now of players getting their voices heard and how they want this business to be conducted, and this is a wide open opportunity for them to do so. When we all shut down for March, right, and we're all quarantined, I'm not the biggest religious guy in the world, but my family and I go to church. My wife is more on that angle. But I kept hearing messages, and people were sharing messages of church pastors saying things like, well, maybe God sent this virus so we could slow down and be with our families and enjoy our time. And I hated that message. I hated it, not because I didn't want to spend time with my kids, or was because we're not talking about something that was not killing people. We're talking about a virus here. And if you needed a virus that killed 150,000 Americans to realize that you needed to do a puzzle with your six-year-old, well, I don't know what to tell you. But I didn't like that message. And I don't like the message here that says we needed something like this virus to change the state of college football. Because the virus is a serious thing. And this is not something to be dismissed. And this is not something that should be looked at as a great golden opportunity for changing college football. The sport should have been changing on its own without a virus. The sport should have been reading the tea leaves on how this sport should have been operating for years and years and years and years, doing business without the voice of the players. But it was never going to do that, because that's the last thing these university presidents and coaches ever wanted. They never wanted the student athletes to have a seat at the table. It is a revolving door. You come in, you spend 4 or 5 years, maybe 3 if you're good enough, and then you're out the door and we don't need to hear your voice. So we don't need to create a system where you get a seat at a table, because your side is always changing. I can be the coach at Penn State for 30 years or Alabama for 25 years, but you will be coming and going. So there's no need to hear what you want, because in the end, you're going to be out the door anyway. And now the tide is going to start to change. This virus, as deadly as it is, as damaging as it is going to be the door that opens. It's going to allow the door to be open for the voice. And I'm telling you right now, this, what's going on when you hear these conferences, having these meetings and discussing whether or not they should play, a lot of it is the safety of the players. I am not going to deny that. But a lot of it, too, is, hey, wait, there's a growing tide here, and let's calm it down before it gets out of control. Because it could get out of control. And that's not what the universities and some of the athletic directors want. You've heard Dabo Swinney, for example, talk about how proud he is of his guys, some of the Clemson players that have been on the front line of this, talking about how great it feels, you know, how great he feels for his players to have this voice and being able to say, we want to play to save a season. Dabo's wanted to play this whole time. And you're going to start seeing more and more coaches do that. The Arkansas athletic director has said the same thing, right? I mean, he is on board. His son is playing college football. And he wants to play. He wants the voice of these players who say they want to hit the field to be able to hit the field. It's a momentum that's growing. And here's the thing. As fans, we get to pull back for a quick second and have to sometimes say, why do I want college football? I want it because I like it, right? I want it because it's entertaining. It doesn't matter if you're a fan, a media person that makes their living covering it, or anybody else that's falling along the lines. In the end, this was always going to be about the players, whether or not it was safe for them to do so. And if they want to take that step, then let's let them take that step. If everybody on that field, everybody that is playing college football this fall is doing it because that's exactly the decision they made, meaning they were not forced to do it. There was no ramifications for it. They won't use a year of eligibility, no scholarship lost, et cetera, right? So that everybody who feels like I will take my risk and play, I think these conferences have to hear that voice as much as they don't want to hear that voice in any other department, whether it is licensing and name recognition, getting a cut of the revenue, any other reason that a student athlete may jump up and down and scream, hey, wait, let's slow down a little bit. We want better practices. We want more concern for our health with trainers. We don't want to feel like we got to be forced to play hurt. All these other voices that the NFL has navigated for years and years and years through their collective bargaining, the union, this union mentality that's coming from college players, the university is not necessarily going to want to hear them on every issue, but they should hear them on this one. So today could be a big day for college football. Today, tomorrow, Thursday, these next couple of days could be a big deal. The SEC is taking it slow. Greg Sankey has said, look, we are pulling back. We are slowing things down. We are looking at this. We're not going to make any rash judgments here. Right, college practices in the SEC, and I think for a lot of other conferences as well, but I know in the SEC, practices are going to be starting coming up on Friday, or at least this weekend. They were pushed back, obviously, because they pushed the season to start on September 26th. They're going to take their time. I'm really interested in where the Big Ten is going to be. Because if the Big Ten domino falls, right, if it does say, that's it, we're out, I guarantee you, within 5 minutes, the Pac-12 will fold up shop too. The Pac-12 has no interest being the first Big Five conference to cancel football. They will wait till somebody else does. And then they will jump on that opportunity to do so. The SEC will be the last. The ACC will be right close with them. I get a feeling the ACC is still looking at this going, I think we can navigate through this. And as far as the Big 12, I have no idea. I mean, nothing really has come out of the Big 12. But look for something from the Big 10 today. If they say they're going to play this season, if they're going to follow through with their protocol and follow through with their plan, I think everybody stays pat. I think everybody stays safe. But I think once one domino falls, if that's the Big Ten, I think the Pac-12 will follow. The other three will chill for a bit. I think the Big 12 would be next to go, ACC, and the SEC would be last. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. We'll continue this discussion, what yesterday meant to this sport as a whole, and this movement, this player movement, is it going to gain a lot of traction in terms of actually putting a product on the field? We'll continue with Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, do you think there'll be a college football season? On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Which conference do you think is going to pull the plug first, if any? We'd love to hear from you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. But what a mess for the Big Ten yesterday.
So,
God, what a disaster.
Are we just going to go, like, you know, the same way we talked about NBA, the same way we talked about Major League Baseball, is that this is just a non-season, so do something outside the box type thinking?
I think so.
Let's just do away with conferences.
Well, I know, but there's... I don't know what that looks like. I know to do away with conferences. I don't know how Scott Frost, when Scott Frost said he'll play, I don't know who he'll play. I don't know how that will work.
Nebraska,
he's going to play
U?
Iowa like a bunch of times and Ohio State. And if not, you know, I mean, is he going to play any other school that is out of the conference game?
Lincoln Community College?
I guess you could go down that road. But listen, I don't know how the Big Ten botched this so badly. Like, why was it so messy? If you have a 12-2 vote, which is what reportedly was coming out, that Nebraska and Iowa were the only two schools out of the 14 from the president's perspective to say, we don't want to cancel the upcoming season. Then how did it go from we are potentially canceling it to wait, no, we're going to have the coaches scream and holler and we never really made it official. And now we've got one, our vote out in the public, the outrage of the coaches out in the public, players screaming on Twitter about the, you know, unifying voice that they want to play. Scott Frost is out there saying we'll play anybody and anybody this upcoming season if we don't have a conference. If you're Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, this was a horrific day for you as a conference commissioner.
What, at what point do you think he just put his phone like in the drawer?
Yeah, just,
and walked
that's
away
enough.
From it. He said, "You know, I'm out of pocket."
I mean, it's look, why? I mean, I hate to sound like this, but do players need a mommy and daddy to protect them from this?
Sounds like it.
I mean, do they? If they want to play, why don't we just let them play?
Why? But take it a step back. Why can't we just postpone the season and see where things end up?
Because nobody wants to do that.
No, I know. But, I mean, wouldn't that be more logical at this point?
Just, no.
The SEC came out and said, we're going to start in September.
Well, no. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, like, canceling the season. I think everybody's okay. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is screaming that he wants to play Labor Day.
Right.
I think he's screaming he wants to play.
That's what I'm saying.
Just give me a season.
The Big Ten, I don't remember the Big Ten ever coming out saying, hey, we're going to push the season back.
Well, yeah, but again, the issue isn't delaying it. The issue is canceling it, right? So the Big Ten is...
And that's what I'm getting at, is why such a rush to make such a rash decision?
Because they're hearing from doctors. Look, every of the Big Ten... I forgot what the number was, but there's a bunch of the presidents are doctors listening to other doctors saying you're never going to pull this off. Right? Who wants to be the president of Ohio State if three football players die from the virus?
No, I get that.
Like, who wants? So this is what they're doing. This is why they're
saving their own skin. They don't want to pay out.
They're saving their own skin. I mean, this is what the, this, again, I'll give you a quick story real quick. When I first got married, I think I was, you know, maybe a year into my marriage. I remember one day I had like shortness of breath, and I was like 26. Right? And I just had shortness of breath and I didn't feel so good. And my wife, who works in the medical field, she was like, you're getting a physical, right? So I went to go get a physical. I'm 26. All right. I wasn't heavy. I was a kid. I mean, I was like a young adult. The doctor does everything, right? I'm there for hours. The doctor takes blood, right? Urine sample. I mean, everything. And I remember saying to him, do we have to do all this? And he goes, yeah, because you wanted to have this. And then he drew a dollar sign on a piece of paper. Because if they miss one thing, my wife could sue the hospital, could sue the doctor. They miss one thing. So he's like, you're getting everything. This is what you came in for. It's the same thing here, right? I mean, what these universities are worried about is putting a product on the field, two players, one player, doesn't matter, die. And next thing you know, they're in some $50 million lawsuit because they should have known better. So they're trying to say, look, it's extreme, much like the doctor going through every physical test for a 26-year-old who doesn't have any health problems. It's the same idea here. Look, they're hearing from people that are saying, you will not pull this off. There's a heart. We don't know how it affects the heart. And as I was saying yesterday, you got 350-pound linemen that if they get this virus, what happens to them? Right? What could happen to them? And they don't want to be on the hook for this. They do not want to be the voice of charge. So I understand that, but isn't there a way, like, again, you've got players and people that want to play football. Is there a way legally to get these players to play football? I mean, again, we're not talking about children here. Like, these kids could go to war. If we ever had a war, we would be giving them machine guns and asking them to storm beaches. And if they want to play football, why can't we create a plan to allow them to play football and say, if you guys want to take the risk, here's the risk. If you guys still want to do this, we'll do this. But here's what you're going to have to do. Yeah, you'll have to sign a waiver that says your mother and father won't sue us for $100 million if you get this virus and either A, you die from it, or B, it affects you in such a way that you can't play NFL football. So you want to do this, Trevor Lawrence? You want to do this, Chuba Hubbard? You want to do this, Justin Fields? We can, and this is how we're going to do it. Or am I missing something? Because it sounds like this wave of players, this big backing, this big voice of players that is screaming they want to play, I am telling you right now, there is going to be some serious backlash from boosters, alumni, fans, media, whatever, if they cancel college football and this voice is not heard. Because I think the media, I think the sports media that has been screaming at the rooftops, that has been saying for decades that this system is corrupt, this whole sport is filled with people that have got their hands in their pockets, keeping the hands of people who would play this game, keeping their hands out of the cookie jar, keeping their hands out of the pocket. They don't get anything. Everybody else is getting rich. Have said this is one of the most corrupt sports out there in terms of how the money is divided, screaming that the players need a voice. And now the same media that has been saying, listen to the players when it comes to getting paid, when it comes to practice schedules, when it comes to academic schedules and how much football they practice and how much academics they don't. All of those issues. Now you've got the players saying, we want to play football, and that same media is telling them to be quiet. Shut up. You don't know any better. Shut up. You don't make a decision here. Shut up. You don't have a say in this. Shut up. You don't know. Calm down, children. It's okay. You know, let the adults talk. No, we can't have it both ways. If I'm going to listen to a UConn basketball player say, I am hungry. I am at this school making millions for this school, and I'm hungry. And we demand that they rearrange how those athletes get food. We can listen to these players if they want to play football. Again, I'm not saying these conferences force, you know, they go around going, you got to play. That's it. I'm sorry. You came here to play football. You're playing football. But coach, I'm a little nervous about the virus. Get on that field. No, of course not. I don't think anybody is screaming for that. I don't think anybody's saying that. But we are saying that if you have, like, I'll tell you this, here in Tennessee, the university president went to meet with the players. I don't know how they did it in safety, but she said after the meeting, she said, every one of them wants to play. They were yelling at her to play. So should we listen to them or not? I think that's where it comes down to. Yes, start the season late. Yes, get a feel for all of this. Do what the SEC is doing. Everybody should be on board. But again, today is going to be an interesting day because if they cancel this, if everybody cancels this, and I don't know if everybody's going to, then we're going to have a different conversation on how this sport is run. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, good morning. It is Sports Map Radio Network. It is Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver, glad you could be with us. We got Matt Michelle next hour to help us break down this college football stuff. So, God, I don't know how to feel about it, though. I don't know. It was a weird day yesterday. I thought for like maybe 2 hours, I thought the Big Ten had canceled the season.
Well, you know what? It has an ominous feeling to March 12th.
Yeah, right? Where we weren't sure?
Yeah, you weren't going on. It was, hey, we're going to cancel. No, we're not going to cancel. Hey, we're just going to open up the arenas with no fans. And then before you knew it, it was, you know, watching video of people like, ADs or coaches taking phone calls saying, yeah, the game's been canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tournament's over.
I'm telling you right now, though, the Pac-12 ain't going to be the first. They're more of a follower conference than the leader. They're going to wait. Oh, Big Ten did it? Okay. We'll cancel too.
Yeah, because they
can't. Mountain West canceled.
No, they can't follow the MAC or Mountain West. You need something a little more prominent.
No, a little bit more prominent. The Mountain West, I was like, oh, man, the Mountain West canceled that. Air Force was like, we're still playing Army and Navy, so don't worry about us.
That was a fun tweet that showed the college football schedule. And it was week one, Army versus Navy. Week two, Air Force versus Navy. Week three, Army versus Air Force, and just keep rotating over and over again.
If you've never been to a Service Academy game, I highly recommend it. They're pretty awesome.
Can they play each other four times a year?
Yeah, I know, right? I covered Air Force for four or five seasons out in Colorado Springs. And I've seen them play Army. I've seen them play Navy. John Feinstein wrote a book called The Civil War. And it was basically on Army-Navy, you know, one of the biggest college football games of the year. But one of the lines that he has in there that always stuck with me when I ever attended a Air Force-Navy game or an Air Force-Army game was Feinstein wrote, Army hates Navy, Navy hates Army, and they both can't stand Air Force. It's so true. And I used to go to those games and it was always a different feel. Like generals would show up and it would be extra security and it'd be, but one game I remember specifically, they were playing Army and playing Navy. I'm sorry. And Army and Navy were both playing. They were running the option offense. So they're both running the ball. And I swear the 60 minutes of football went by in like 15 minutes. It was like you'd sit there and you'd go first quarter and it's just a running clock. It's like when you have your kids play like peewee football, and there's just a running clock. It's like, look, we're going to play for 40 minutes and then that's it. That's what it felt like. There was no stop. There was no stoppage time. They'd run the ball, pitch it, get tackled, run it, you know, go to play and constant movement. But the atmosphere is electric. I mean, it's absolutely electric. So if I'm Air Force, I find a way to get an Army-Navy game, even though I'm playing two games this year, if I'm doing it twice. Because I could cover Air Force for 15 years and still not understand the nuances of what goes on in a military. Like how a military institution works when it comes to its athletics. But I don't think it's like other institutions. I mean, I don't think that, like, when you're in the Air Force, you are there to learn to be an officer, or at West Point or in Annapolis, and you got to get moving. Like, you can't just hang around and play college athletics forever. It's one of the reasons why there's a big debate about whether or not somebody who went to one of those institutions, should they defer their service, their military service, to go become a professional. There's a big debate about that, because on the one side, you get, everyone who goes to those academies, they go for nothing. The taxpayers pay for that because they are the future leaders in the military level, right? The military aspect of it. And they owe a service after their training at the academy. But there's another side that has always said, look, there's no bigger promotion for the service academies than if you can get one of these athletes like a David Robinson, Roger Staubach when he went to Navy, into the NFL. And there's been a number of other players who have gone NBA or NFL. And if you can get one of these guys in as quickly as possible, it's a great promotional tool. So there's always been a debate about that going back and forth. But, yeah, when the Mountain West went down, I mean, this includes UNLV, Wyoming, New Mexico, San Diego State and whatnot. But
My immediate thought was Commander in Chief's trophy, which is fought out between those three service academies. Air Force has got to find a way to continue that because it's a great one of the great traditions. But again, it goes back to what Scott Frost said, right? Which was, look, I don't know how Scott Frost will pull it off at Nebraska, but he probably can. He probably could get 6 or 7 games under his, scheduled in some capacity. But if it's this idea of, I'm not shutting down. Just because my conference says no, we're going to say yes. How many coaches will do that? Will Ryan Day do that at Ohio State? Like, will Jim Harbaugh do it at Michigan? Will they just go, we'll just be our own entity? Or is there some sort of way the conference goes, no, you are a member of this institution and you abide by what we say? But what do you do? How do you stop that? I mean, if you're the commissioner of the Big Ten, you can tell Ohio State they can't play football if they want to do it on their own and find their own schedule?
And that's the weird thing to think about.
Right.
I mean, some of these, the brand name schools, because if the Big Ten does drop out, you can't have a national champion this year.
You can't have a national champion this year?
Yeah, I don't think you
can. Well, let's just make it the SEC title game.
What? Not exactly, right?
Right.
I mean, because you can't have...
I agree with you.
Where's the opposition coming from?
You got to have some... Yeah, I mean, Ohio State is like the number two team in the nation.
Yeah, year after year after year.
No, I agree with you. You have to everybody kind of, all the conference should be participating if you're going to do the college football playoff. If not, I said this yesterday, I don't think there should be a college football playoff. I don't think it should be a national championship. Just have the conferences do their own thing and go. I know that's a very, very old school thinking, but it's in my thought, it's like, no, don't complicate matters. Just play college football. Let SEC people celebrate SEC championships. Let Big Ten people celebrate Big Ten championships. There's no need to go that one extra step further. Somebody wants to do a poll like the Associated Press and sort it all out. Good luck. Fine. We can do that. But I don't think you need to, take 4 teams and send them to the Peach Bowl, the Rose Bowl, or the Cotton, whatever it is. I mean, you don't have to do that. You don't have to send these teams to continue to play in January. There's no need. Wrap it up, be over with, crown your champion, and be done.
But give us the Sun Bowl.
Yeah, of course, give us the Sun Bowl.
That's the only one we really want.
That's the only one we really want. Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? I know it's unfair. And look, I mean, if many of you out there have a son or daughter that plays soccer or any other fall sport, I don't mean to make this solely about college football, but unfortunately, that's the news cycle. Yeah,
we are talking about all sports. Let's be honest.
I mean, if your daughter is playing field hockey for the University of Mississippi or whatever, I'm not trying to belittle that by not including them. And when we talk about the cancellation of football, it really means the cancellation of fall sports,
right?
But we're talking college football because that's what we concentrate on.
That's where the money is.
That's where the money.
I mean, I don't know how much money field hockey generates. I mean,
zero. It spends money. It's in the negative.
They rely on football.
Unless Bill Gates' daughter plays and he goes, here's $1 billion to travel first class every year. Can you imagine if, Jeff Bezos' kid played, swimming?
Yeah.
And he was like...
Archery.
Or something. And he was like, how do I donate to my kid's sport?
All right, we have an intern who was here earlier this summer. She's on a fencing scholarship to Stanford.
Really?
I didn't even know. Which, by the way... is the most coronavirus friendly sport.
You got to think, right?
Well, because you're wearing masks and if someone gets within 6 feet of you, you stab them.
That's right. Yeah.
So it is the most coronavirus.
I didn't even know fencing was still a thing. That's pretty awesome.
I thought, you just kind of did a special club and then tried out for the Olympics every 4 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah, it's an actual sport.
So
college scholarships. See, that's the thing. You can get a scholarship for anything.
You can. I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she was a golfer, and she shoots in the 80s, and I, 82, 83, and I said, you could get a scholarship for that. You know that, right? She goes, I was told that. I go, no, it's true. You're a junior right now? I was like, whether it's Division II or whatnot, I said, Title IX has opened the door for the need to fill scholarships in other sports. I said, if you shoot in the low 80s, you can get at least a Division II scholarship in women's golf.
Have to go for the big name program.
No, you don't.
There's 100 colleges out there that'll spend money on you to go to their university.
Field a team. Exactly.
And what's one thing we learned after all the schooling we did? It doesn't matter what university you go to, you just need a degree.
Well, Exactly.
You just need that piece of paper.
Try to tell that to kids. I don't know.
No, I know.
It's like I told my son that over and over again. I was like, "What? You know, why? Like, I there's a local college here in town. I said, why didn't you go? He goes, ugh. I go, what do you mean, It's like you go there for nothing. I was like, right. what are you talking about? What are you, a college snob? I said, what's wrong with you? It's a higher education. Like, the state is paying for you to go there. It's like one of the, like, it's practically nothing. It's practically free through this different programs they have. I was like, don't sneer at these schools that are local.
Yeah, but what's we did.
What's with you? Yeah, we all did.
We did. You
can't help it. Can't help it. So that's true. It is true. It, you know, so, yeah. But I mean, from a college football perspective, you know, let's say they do play, right? I mean, let's say, to me, if you shut down, you shut down, but you at least tried it. At least the players got what they wanted out of the deal. Like, you could sit down with the players and go, look, we're going to start this, but if we reach this point, we're canceling it. And have the players go, okay, we understand that. Like, if we have 15% of the entire conference, then we're done. Like 10%, whatever the number is, doesn't matter. But you can sit with the players and go, we can do this, but let me just tell you right now, if there's an outbreak on this football team, we are done. Done. We're not coming back. We're not waiting it out like the St. Louis Cardinals. No, we're finished. All right? If there's 20 of you that get this virus, we're done. So we need your cooperation too. And I'm sorry, that means not going to parties. It means not hanging out. It means not being big man on campus and going wherever you want to go. If you want to do this, we'll do this, but you have to live by these sort of criteria, because once we get reach this certain number, then I don't want to hear it, and you can go on Twitter and you can cry and you can scream and you can yell and you can say how it's unfair, but if we reach this number, this thing is over. It's over. And if you do that, I think you can get cooperation from the players on this. If I'm the quarterback, if I'm Trevor Lawrence and I'm screaming to the high heavens on Twitter that I want to play, and then the Clemson says, okay, we can play, but here's the rules you have to live by to stay quarantined and stay separate from the student body, I would follow that because I spoke big and now I've got to act big. And we'll see where it goes. But again, they're not children here. Like, let's stop treating them like children. I know I'm guilty of it. Look, listen, I say kids sometimes when I talk student athletes, but that's a euphemism. I don't mean like they're actual children. I just say it because I'm old, right? So like to me, like my kid is a college age student. I just say that word, but in reality, they're not. They're not children. They're adults, right? They can get in their own place. They can, you know, go to war. They can, you know, whatever it is that they want to do. They can do whatever they want. And if they're willing to sign off on a waiver or something along those lines, then let them play football. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. As we continue, it is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, one of the big changes we're all dealing with is wearing a mask. Not all offer the same comfort and protection. I recommend Boomer Naturals. Three-layer, comfortable, and highly breathable mask. They come in sizes for adults, teens, and children. They're in stock now, shipped to you fast. Nano silver technology woven into the fabric can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. That's what we want right now. It is the best protection. Boomer also offers those popular nano silver neck gaiters, too. So order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use the promo code Tony and save 20%. That's promo code Tony at BoomerNaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals. All right. One quick note. The St. Louis Cardinals have got their, we talked about this yesterday. Their series with the Pirates has been postponed. So that was yesterday, today, and Wednesday. Then baseball yesterday postponed their doubleheader makeup against Detroit. So it's going to be Friday before the Cardinals may play baseball, which I get a feeling they won't be playing baseball.
Okay,
on Friday.
Question. Why? I mean, is it just because they have positive cases and Cleveland doesn't yet? Because Cleveland, I mean, they're putting players in quarantine, even though, I guess, because they went outside the bubble, right?
Yeah.
So they haven't tested positive, so we don't have any postponed games for Cleveland yet.
Not yet, yeah. Not yet. Soon, though, soon.
Did you see what they did? I can't remember the pitcher's name. Plezak or something like that?
No, what did he do?
They made it. Well, he, I guess Plezak and a couple other guys, they went out on the town in Chicago. Right? So everyone flew back. They made Plezak drive home.
Good for them. Good for them. There's a report that Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals flew some woman, some Instagram model, into St. Louis on a plane to fly in to see him. Just went, none of these people, do they even care about what, like how this works?
Nah, you don't need a bubble.
Yeah, a 22, 23-year-old pitcher and an Instagram model wants to come out to St. Louis. You're like, no, I got to stay quarantined for the virus. You'd be like, now here's the deal. Just don't catch the virus, okay? And just come out to St. Louis. We'll pick you up by car. Sure, you'll be contacting people all the way through before you get to my hotel room.
You might even post it on the gram.
But yeah, exactly. Exactly. Baseball, again, they should say to the Cardinals, okay, do you guys want to do this or not? Because we can just figure it out the rest of the way. Do we need you? Do we need you or not? See, if the Cardinals were to have their season canceled, like think about the great history of the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team.
Yes.
Like, the huge history of it. This would just be an added chapter in the great history of their organization. The year they shut down because they couldn't behave during a virus. All right, coming up, speaking of baseball, they may have a bubble format for the playoffs. We'll talk about that. The good, the bad, and the dumb. And then Matt Mershell will join us to talk about this college football stuff because, man, it's still getting confusing. It's all coming up in hour two. It's Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.